and he will hold me fast. When a person commits suicide, did Christ let go? Well, he's not in the business of breaking his promises. But he will hold us fast. Suicide is sin. But do you sin anyways, even though? And you see, does he still hold you fast? And that's something that I think that we really need to hear. And songs like that. May I also interject something? None of this, I didn't even know I was going to say this, but something that I think that needs to be said. Singing songs like we sang tonight. Creation sings the Father's song. And when you think about his greatness of all creation, that should cause in you a sense of worship. You need to be in God's house singing stuff like that. And people, generally, when problems come, whether it's problems with another believer, problems in life, one of the first things they start doing is slack off on their attendance of God's house. Because we all need reminders. That my name is graven on his hands. I'm written on his heart. I'm seeing those words knowing what I'm going to be preaching tonight. And I'm dying inside thinking, oh, but that's true. And what we need to be, we need that kind of reminder. And that's why we need each other. And that's why we need to be in God's house worshiping him. And we need to have the love of the brethren, because the world in which we live is truly wicked. It is dark, and we need each other and the Lord Jesus Christ to hold us fast in the things of God. Well, tonight's message has been precipitated by an event in my life and in Pastor Ryan's life that we were called upon to do something today. He coming into the ministry, me getting old and gray and wobbly on the legs and everything, but called upon to go over to Zephyr Christian School and to do something that I had never done before. And I don't know, you know, I asked him in the car, I said, so do you have any preparation for this sort of thing? Because I was given a forewarning by another member of our church, Brother Rodney Kritzer, who his wife is an administrator at Zephyr Christian. We have another teacher in that Christian school that is attending here, and we have two teenage girls that are there. And this past Wednesday, that the Friday before, the Christian school teacher, a man, had given his resignation and was no longer going to be teaching there. As the report goes, that he left the school and went home. He's married, has three children, three, four, and eight, I think it is, or something like three, six, and eight. And then he left, I think alone, I don't know any more details, than that he left, went up to Tennessee, and took his life. And this was real close to the anniversary of a student who took their life exactly a year ago in the same school. And this body of students had to go through all of that. And when you consider all of this, and especially from a Christian perspective, in one sense, we're really not surprised when unsaved people in unsaved circumstances take their life. It is always, I'm going to speak very candidly tonight, it's always gross and hard and difficult. Suicide is a very, very tough thing when a person takes their own life. But you don't quite expect it, and you don't really usually have your heart prepared in a Christian school situation, especially a double whammy like this. And so we received the phone call that they were going to have a general assembly, bring all of the students in, some 400 students into the church auditorium, and to make this announcement. They had an administrator there to do that, did an excellent job. I do not envy him at all for having to do that. And he started off by talking about to remind all of them that they were loved, that they were loved by God, that they were loved by their parents, they were loved by their administration and teachers and everything. This was a Christian school and so forth. And then he went on and mentioned this man and said that he had taken his life. And the response was shocking. The first response was almost universal. These teenagers bringing their hands to their mouth. And then it broke. I would not wish anyone to have to go through that. We were there. We were supposed to give loving support. And I'm looking at a sea of young people that are broken, that are shocked, that are confused, that overwhelmed. He was a well-loved teacher in the school. He was one because of what he did in the school. He really spread throughout many classes. Many of his new students only had him for 4 weeks. He had taught already 4 weeks this year. New students had already fallen in love with him. No one saw it coming. And the shock, the hurt, and all of the responses. You know, there is a truly multitude of responses when something like that happens. Well, we had the opportunity to go over and to offer support to the two adult women that were there from our church that are involved in that ministry. And then also to the two teenage girls, and I was able to pray with them and as they wept. And they feel like, what is really secure in this world? And it's just overwhelming to think through that, the counseling that has to go on. And from a Christian perspective, it is almost overwhelming. And so as I thought about it and so forth, that this is something that we just need to talk about as a local church. There are times in the ministry when we need to approach a topic from the pulpit. You know, we did so in 9/11 and hurricanes when they happen, and devastation, and the Lord has his way in the whirlwind when those kinds of things happen, and everything. And there's things like that that we need to approach. The definition of suicide is called self-murder. And we understand and know that hits the top 10 in the law of God, thou shalt not kill. That includes yourself. And it's self-murder. But it's interesting that as you do a lot of research on this, it has other kind of references. That of the point of self-valor. I think that was aided a little bit from the Hemlock Society. The Hemlock Society, which is epitomized in what was pictured in Star Trek with the Klingon race. This is for the Trekkies. Today is a good day to die. Only if it's the Lord's will. And but self-valor, I think the best way to probably consider maybe the cause or the overwhelmingness is, and I would think that in most cases, and one thing is that I don't think there's anything that is totally universal except it's the person taking their own life. But it's an escape of a problem. Whether rightly or wrongly, they're feeling it's an escape. It's an escape out a door that God does not give us the permission to open. But man in his sinfulness will open it. And that's why I called it a sin. Is it always wrong to kill yourself? Answer, yes. So we're going to talk about this sincerely. But as I alluded to it this morning in this morning's message, that... and as last Sunday morning when we're preaching through the the Sermon on the Mount, judge not lest ye be judged, but judge us rather. And we're supposed to judge ourselves and make sure that the beam is out of our eye before we go for a speck in a brother's eye. One of the things that is so wrong in a response is to judge. To judge the person who did the act. To judge the family or those involved. I have heard of a case, and I'll even put it more specifically. Someone here in our own church had a loved one, a parent, who had committed suicide. And there was I won't say an inquisition, but there was a checking out and everything. That's what legally things have to be done when someone dies. And a lot of times people can be extremely judgmental. That is so wrong. That we're not supposed to be going around judging like that. That we're to be a people of love, to come alongside, to try and be any kind of a reconciling person that we can. One of the things that I want to do is I'm going to go through some statistics now, again, which is not typical of what we do from the pulpit, but to lay this out, I've made mention of the fact that within our own small congregation, we have had those that have had parents that have been involved in this. We also have family members here that they have had a son or a brother that's been involved in this. So this is not something that you think, well, that's out there. No, it's here tonight. And those are just some of the ones that I know. It can be even more. And so this message is never to be considered anything that would be even remotely to be considered as judgmental, but rather to set an alarm. Because in a real sense, there go I, but by the grace of God. It's good I can't always remember who tells me what, but someone told me tonight that her brother, his pastor, committed suicide about 10 years ago. So pastors are not above this. There have been other pastors that have committed suicide. And so this is something that can hit both men and women, old and young. And so I want us to consider this, in a sense, statistically. First of all, and I have gotten this information, it's called the USA Suicide of 2020, realizing and gathering data, it takes a while. The 2020 official final data. Now, let me just pause, even with the introduction of where I'm going to get the statistics. I hope you understand, and I hope personally that you're shocked by these numbers. You need to understand that these numbers are not real. If anything, they're low. And the reason is because there are coroners and there are those, because of embarrassment for the family, others, maybe Christian men, doctors who give the death certificate, really don't want to bring that in, that discouragement to the family. Or sometimes there can be, in one case that I know of when I was in Ohio, to make sure the family could access insurance money to bury their loved one. They basically fudged. From a Christian worldview, it's a lie. But they thought that they were morally okay with it. I'm not going to enter into that. My point is so that people have reasons not to accurately tell others, including doctors, when they're filling out death certificates. So, you know, the government that gathers the statistics, they have to look at what's on death certificates and the like, and that they aren't telling the whole story. And so these statistics, though shocking, these are the ones that are verifiable. First statistic, worldwide. Because keep in mind, this is a human problem. It's a sinner problem. And sinners are universal, are we not? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So just to consider worldwide, in the year 2020, It was 703,000 people committed suicide. 700, that would be 703,30. 703,000 people committed suicide in 2020 worldwide. In the USA, we saw in the United States of America 45,979. So if you're going to round, and some of these, you know, if you give every number, this is going to get termed boring if you're not into statistics. So we could say 46,000 people killed themselves in the United States of America in 2020. That comes down to statistically 126 people per day. That's a devastating number. Let me give you one. I'm going to jump to one that is a little bit different. It's going to be tough to do this. Suicide is the 12th ranking cause of death in the United States. They qualify this as intentional self-harm. It's the 12th. Homicide is 16th. More people die of suicide than people that are murdered by other people. Now, that's a sobering thought. Also, keep in mind that some of these statistics, because it's 2020, it is skewed for because of COVID. And people that became disillusioned, people that discouraged, people that became worried, how they're going to pay their bills, what's going to happen, the world's coming to an end. Some of these are considered pretty devastating. What's interesting is that suicide actually went down just a tiny bit, not much, but a tiny bit from 2019 to 2020, which just seems odd. I would have thought it gone up. But these are the statistics that we have. So let's look at a couple of other statistics. Males outnumber females in their, this is out of all that commit suicide. 36,500, or 551 males, that's 100 men a day commit suicide in 2020. Females, it was 9,428, or 26% of, or 26 females per day. Now, that's just men and women, all different ages included. What's interesting is that there is a high number of older adults that commit suicide. Usually because of a spouse that dies, there's no sense of hope in the future, and they kill themselves. Another high one is, and they go into white males and black males and Asian and the like, but the young, 15 to 24, there was 6,000 of them, or 17 kids per day, or 17 kids, yes, 15 to 24 commit suicide per day. Middle-aged, 45 to 64, it's 14,400, or just under 40 people a day of men that have become discouraged over that. So it's an average of one person every 11.5 minutes kill themselves. One male in every 14 minutes, one female in every 55 minutes. The average of one young person every hour and 27 minutes kill themselves. A young person. It's the 12th ranking cause of death in the U.S. It's the third ranking cause of death in young people. 3.9 male deaths by suicide for each female death by suicide. Now, those are the ones which you hate to say it this way, that were successful. What about attempts? This is even more astounding. Attempted non-fatal outcomes of suicide in the year 2020. Now, keep in mind, this is the people on top of those who were successful. 1,149,475 annual attempts in the U.S. One attempt every 27.5 seconds in our country. God bless America. That translates into one every 26.4 seconds for adults and one in every 50.3 seconds for adolescents. Let me read that again. That translates into one every 26 seconds for adults and one in every 50 seconds for adolescents. Three female attempts for each male attempt. And you might say, well, wait a minute. I thought it was heavier in the males. That's because males are more successful and they're in the other statistic. But females attempt it and they don't accomplish what they want. Now, there's reasons for that. And if this was a public lecture and I was a psychologist, which I'm not, there would be reasons to go into that. Attempts or a call for help, maybe you've heard, and that's probably true. It's also they kind of chicken out at the very end. They get wrong equipment to actually accomplish it. There's all kinds of ways that might be. These are just the statistics. Now, you might say, okay, that's the United States. What about Florida? Well, in Florida, we had in 2020 3,135 successful suicides within our own state. We rank 31 in the United States of America. It's the third leading cause of death for ages 10 to 19. The second leading cause of death of ages 20 to 24. And the fourth leading cause of death from 35 to 44. Over one third of the people who died by suicide, okay, of those 900,000, whatever that number was, of 45,979. One third of those people who died were 55 or older. So suicide isn't just based in one age group, although there are those. It seems to be heavier on the young and in the old. 10% of the adult Americans have thought about suicide. 1.2 million have attempted. Again, that's been consistent. This is of a different year. 54% of Americans have been affected by suicide in some way. So that would be over half of the people here tonight, statistically, have been affected by suicide in one way or another. Men died by suicide four times more often than females. But females are almost twice as likely to attempt it. And I'm not trying to go into the grossness of how they accomplish it. I think that's not worthy of being considered. Now, this is a United States statistic, be one of the last ones I'm going to do on a general sense. And that is 90% who died by suicide had a diagnosable mental health condition at the time of their death. Now, I don't know about that because I don't know of how many, if 90% of those people that committed suicide, they had the opportunity to be evaluated. That's where my science background says I question that statistic. But let me become a little bit more narrow. Now, this is going to be dated by maybe a little bit more over a year or so from this one. But it at least sets a tone for us to understand. Facts about suicide, that is veterans suicide. 18 American veterans kill themselves every day. 1,000 former soldiers receive care from the Department of Veterans Affairs in attempted suicide every month. More veterans are completing suicide than are dying in combat overseas. That's terrible. In the year 2005, over 6,200 veterans completed suicide. That was 120 per week. Veterans were twice as likely to commit suicide as non-veterans. Veterans aged 20 to 24 who served in Afghanistan and Iraq had the highest rate of suicide among all veterans. Now, that can be skewed, that can be changed. But, you know, those of us, myself included, I'm not a veteran. I have never served. I've not seen battle and I've not had to go into that. And sometimes I have a hard time identifying what these men have gone through. But those kinds of statistics are devastating. And it shows how the cost of war is terrible. Some facts about youth suicide. Most teen suicides are impulsive with little or no planning. And 70% occur in the victim's home. 70% of adolescents or youth, they do this at home. An adolescent is twice as likely to complete suicide if a gun is kept in the home. You can imagine what the liberals do with that one. May I just say, guns that are not kept safely. And those of us that go through classes and have guns and that, we understand. When there's adolescents in the home, if they have access to a gun, that's usually how they do it. And then a third suicide fact among the youth is that suicide rates among young people 15 to 24 have increased more than 300% since 1950. I would say that the percent of increase has increased at the advent of the internet, social media, personal judgment, personal self-image. And as I mentioned this morning, the way society pushes their agenda, let me just put it this way. The agenda of Satan, taken on by lost humanity, that the government and the lost, that those that are setting our culture, with what they are pushing, is driving people into radical rebellion against Almighty God, and is part, not totally, but is part, a major part of the problem of the increase of suicide. You might say, well, what do you mean? Well, let me give you some facts about gay, lesbian, the LGBTQ. Now, we fully understand that biblically, the Bible says that there are two sexes. Socially, we've got a woman who doesn't know that she's a woman sitting on the Supreme Court. We've got men that wear dresses into the administrative buildings and have direct access to our president who appointed them. The confusion over maleness and femaleness, the confusion over gay marriage and the understanding what marriage is, understanding and losing what a man and woman is. When you've got legislation that wants to say it's okay to mutilate the sexual organs of young people because they've made a decision they want to change their gender, but yet there's other things that cannot be done because they're too young. There is massive confusion. You see, this is a message on suicide is the result of the corruption and sin that we see in our social structure and our culture. Suicide is the leading cause of death among gays and lesbian youth nationally. Now, I say that not in judgment. Remember, this is not a judgment kind of a message. This is information. One has to be careful as we as Christians are trying to come alongside how we present ourselves, but also we have to understand and to have wisdom when to condemn with what's being crammed down the throat of people in our country. But yet the confusion and the result is this, that kids are confused who and what they are. And the leading cause of death among gays and lesbians. 30% of gay youth attempt suicide near the age of 15. And yet we can have public officials that will say it's okay. Experiment. Men dressed as drag reading to small children. All the stuff that goes on in our society. Our society says this is good. Well, let's look at what it produces. And let me say, I don't think that this kind of high rate of suicide is considered a good result. Gays and lesbians are two to six times more likely to commit suicide than heterosexual. Almost half of the gay and lesbian teens state that they have attempted suicide more than once. It has been conservatively estimated that 1,500 gay, lesbian youth commit suicide every year because, guess what? They're not allowed to ask the question. Well, that should have our attention. We have a problem on our hands. Now, we're biblical Christians, and we're not trying to stand in judgment. We're looking at statistics. Those are just numbers. They're devastating, and I would think that that turns your stomach. But what does the Bible say? Well, the Bible does have occurrences of suicide. Ahithophel and 2 Samuel. I think that since we're at church and we need to do this, we need to turn to these passages and just look at these very quickly. 2 Samuel chapter 17. I think we can do this quickly enough. And then get to some applications and what we can do. 2 Samuel chapter 17 and verse. I'm not going to have time to set all of the context here, but it says verse 23, 2 Samuel 17, 23. Now, when Ahithophel saw that his advice was not followed, in other words, he was rejected, he saddled a donkey, arose and went home to his house, to his city. Then he put his household in order and he hanged himself and he died and he was buried in his father's tomb. That's an account we have in 1 Samuel. So let's go back to 1 Samuel. Here we have the first king of Israel, 1 Samuel chapter 31, King Saul. 1 Samuel 31. Verses 1 through 6. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines. Fled from before the Philistines and fell slain on Mount Gilboa. Then the Philistines followed hard after Saul and his sons. And the Philistines killed Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua, Saul's sons. And the battle became fierce against Saul. The archers hit him, and he was severely wounded by the archers. So now there's pain, there's embarrassment, and he's going to tell us that he's really worried about what they might do to his body once he was dead. And so again, defaming, you know, his problems of life and what's about to happen is worse. So then Saul said to his armor bearer, "Draw your sword and thrust me through with it, lest these uncircumcised men come and thrust me through and abuse me." But his armor bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid. Therefore, Saul took a sword and he fell on it. And when his armor bearer saw it, that Saul was dead, he also fell on his sword and he died with him. So Saul and his three sons, his armor bearer, and all his men died together in that same day. Shame and all those other reasons, things that I gave to you. There's Samson in the book of Judges. I'm not going to turn to that one, but it's Judges chapter 16, where you know that I don't know that this fully qualifies as suicide. But when he was blinded and they put his hands on the two pillars, and when the little boy did that, and then he asked God for the strength to restore his strength, and he did, and the whole building fell down. He killed more Philistines then. That was kind of an act of war, and he happened to die. But his action did kill himself. But that is one that is sometimes listed. Zimri is another one out of disappointment in 1 Kings chapter 16. But probably the most famous of the of suicide is found in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 27. Of course, you know where that's going to go. And that is the suicide of Judas. Matthew chapter 27, and beginning at verse 3. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful. And that's part of the cause. And brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? You see to it." And then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple. He departed and went and hanged himself. And then we'll leave it there at that particular point. We find out a little bit more as this was soon after the event in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1 and verse 18, as they are talking about the need to replace Judas as one of the 12. And chapter 1 and verse 18 says this: "Now this man purchased a field with his wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his entrails gushed out. And it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so that the field is called in their own language, Akil Dama, that is the field of blood." And that was in reference to him. He hung himself. He was hanging there. The rope finally broke after probably rigor mortis and everything else had sent in. And the rope broke and he broke in half, and it's very gross. Now, those are the accounts of suicide. They're all very sad. Sin is usually involved. In this particular case, total remorsefulness. When the sin becomes so overwhelming, they see no other way of escape. So the causes of adultery can be issues of sin, whether it be adultery, divorce. What's interesting is that those who commit suicide generally are known to have at least attempted other times. Sometimes suicide goes up by those who are exposed to suicide by family members and or friends. Suicide goes up in the occurrence if you've experienced death, sickness. Eugenics is another whole issue that I'm not approaching tonight. Physician-assisted suicide. Mental health issues, social media, sins of rebellion, and there's many other reasons. I suppose the reasons for committing suicide can be as broad as the sinfulness of all of mankind. But there are 10 characteristics of suicide that have been given. This comes to us by the founder of the American Association of... They actually have this. There's an association that is called the American Association of Suicidology. And he's identified 10 common characteristics. One is endurable psychological pain. They seek escape because their problems are bigger than anything else. Frustrated psychological needs. Search for a solution. There's always a way out of a problem, a crisis, an unbearable situation. This is a door I want to go through. An attempt to end consciousness. An aim to suicide is to stop the awareness of pain. Helplessness. Hopelessness. 6. The condition of option. Instead of looking for a variety of answers, suicide individuals think of only 2 alternatives: a total solution or total cessation. Ambivalence. They just give up. Communication of intent. 80% of suicide people give friends and family clear cues, and when neglected, they feel even more rejected. Departure. Suicide is the ultimate escape, a plan for a radical, permanent change of their scene. And number 10, lifelong coping patterns, a spot of potential suicide when they basically want to cut bait and give up. Are those marks of Christianity, and how do we respond in the midst of all of that? Well, those are some of the warning signs. But I want to quickly move to another thing, and that is the same place gave some warning signs to look for. The giving away of prized possessions. When a person just does that for no apparent reason. Feelings of unworthiness or guilt. Change in eating habits and sleep patterns. Extreme personality changes. Aggressive, destructive, or defiant behavior. Neglect of personal appearance or hygiene. Increase in alcohol or drug consumption. Talking, writing, drawing about their own death. And that would include now on social media and how mean teens and so forth can be in that. And the withdrawal from family or friends. Well, what is the biblical perspective? We got to quickly, the time has just flown. But we needed to set that as a perspective to see what we have. But what is a biblical perspective? I suppose several questions have always come to me whenever in my ministry I've been approached about suicide. By experience, whether remotely in a sense as this past week, or if it's been more acutely close and so forth. And that the question is like this. There are several questions. One, is suicide always wrong? And the answer is yes. It is not ours to take another human life, and it's not ours to take our own life. And it's basically for the same reason. And the Bible tells us what those are. If man shed man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God created he man. Every human has God image. You do. It doesn't make any difference what your sin is. It doesn't make any difference what your problems are. You are a human and you are a person who has God image. It doesn't make any difference what race you are. It doesn't make any difference what your sexual practices are. You are a God image bearer. And you do not have the privilege of killing yourself. This also goes to the areas of the sanctity of life, that all life is important. Now, let me just say one reason why I don't think our society, whether I'm going to use government, but I mean just society in a broad sense. One reason why they don't know what to do, they can recognize this is wrong. But what else do they expect when we are nothing more than highly evolved animals? Really, what difference does it make? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. It's an end result of a godless interpretation of the origin of man. Are we animals or are we God image bearers created in the image of God and we have God to answer to? It's a total disregard for that. And we have that throughout our society. It's taught in public school. If you say that you dare believe the book of Genesis and that you dare believe that God in the beginning created the heavens and the earth. You see, it ultimately is part of the lie of Satan and one of his stratagems, some of his strategies to dethrone God and put man there, and that I can choose my destiny. I can choose when I end my life. That's not yours to do. Now, in human responsibility and so forth, people do it all the time. And that's why it's a sin. And it forgets who we are. And it forgets who God is. So is suicide wrong? Yes, it is a sin. It shows a disregard for the sanctity of life and God image. This is from the same people that want to go ahead and kill babies. They want to kill babies when they're a little tiny. They want to kill babies until the day of their birth. And I heard again discussed some states considering post-birth infanticide. I wish, now, abortion, you know, we got to be sensitive. But I did appreciate this one lady who talked about the smell of when a woman has an abortion. You realize that's true. I would like to talk maybe sometimes to shock the people, although sometimes it's not politically correct. But people can deny what's going on, but abortion has a smell. It has a sound. What are you going to do? You're going to slip a drug into a baby to cause him to sleep so he doesn't scream his lungs out as you're killing him post-birth or on the day of what would have been his normal birth? You say, Pastor, that's wickedness. That's terrible sounding. Exactly my point. And we have a country that says that's okay. And we have politicians that say that's okay. And then they want to know why people become so distraught and I have no sense of worth and I'm going to kill myself. Well, look at what they're doing. There's no sanctity of human life. Pre-birth, immediately post-birth. It's wickedness. Murderers, well, we don't want to hold them accountable. God does. If man shed man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. Murderers are supposed to die. But we don't even, in some cases, want to give them bail. It's wickedness. This society is turned upside down, and it's evidenced by one area and the high suicide rate, because people don't have any sense of morality. So, is it sin? Yes, always. Second question, this one almost always comes up. Can a Christian commit suicide? I cannot. Oh, I'd be rich if I would have money for every time I've been asked that question. Well, I've come to the point when a person says, can a Christian commit suicide? I usually say, well, let me ask you a question. Can a Christian commit sin? What is suicide? Sin. If A equals B and B equals C, this is called simple logic, then A equals C. Can a Christian commit suicide? Yeah. Should a Christian commit suicide? No. And there's a good reason why. Because we're supposed to, a true Christian now, I'm not talking about just some professing Christian, but a person who is truly born again, saved by the blood of the Lamb, one who is graven on the hands of the Savior, written on his heart, those that have had their sins forgiven, those that have been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Can they commit suicide? Yes. Should they? No. Well, then how can that happen? Because it's sin. And we can commit sin. They have the indwelling ministry of the Spirit of God. They commit the sin of grieving the Holy Spirit. Have you ever grieved the Holy Spirit? You do every time you sin. Well, you would say, well, where's the convicting ministry of the Spirit of God? Do you ever commit sin even when you're convicted because of what you wanted? You see, we need to have a proper perspective. What is suicide? It's sin. It's not the unforgivable sin, but it's sin. And if a Christian commits sin, it is wrong. It's ignorance of what a Christian is. But my problems are just so bad. Yeah, talk to Job. He didn't commit suicide. I'll guarantee you, your life is not worse than his. What about that Joseph guy? Brotherly love. Throw him in a pit and then pull him out. Sell him as a slave. Oh, yeah, a lot of brotherly love. And then he goes to jail. And is one that can get him out of jail forgets him. He didn't commit suicide. And look at what God did with him. Hosea. You think you got problems in your marriage? I just can't endure my wife. I'll kill myself. I can't endure my husband. That would be the flip side. But Hosea's about, I can't endure my wife. She's a harlot now. She's sending me her babies from her harlotry. He didn't kill himself. And so we forget who we are, and we have biblical illustrations that God is bigger than any problem. Then the third most commonly question, or the third question, but the one that I've been asked, and then obviously is, will a Christian lose his salvation if he commits suicide? Now, let me just say something. The answer is no. But let me just say something. Anyone who asks that question needs to kind of regroup and ask themselves, what is salvation? They've gone from a state of spiritual death into a spiritual life. They've been chosen by God before the foundation of the world for that. However you want to reconcile that in your own head, whether Arminian or Calvinist, that's immaterial at this point. You were given eternal life. If God takes it back, then he's an Indian giver. Is suicide the unforgivable sin? Nope. But we need to ask the question, what is salvation? It's a living relationship, knowing God as personal Savior. And by the way, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 and following, concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but concerning election, they are beloved sake for and he goes on. I'm sorry, that is not in the one. It flipped on me. Chapter 8 and verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If he did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall not he with him also freely give us all things? And then he asks the question. Who or what shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation? No. Shall distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine? No. Nakedness? No. Peril? No. Sword? No. As it is written, and it goes on, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing. And in the list is death? No. Sin, it is a sin to commit suicide. But it's not an unforgivable sin. It is a sin that if a person is truly born again, they do not lose their salvation. Now, let me just quickly then also say, do I think many Christians commit suicide? And I say this cautiously, but I say this because I believe it needs to be said. I don't think many do. Because that is just the antithesis of what Christianity and the Christian life is all about. But can Christians have mental difficulties? This past week, I talked with one person from Watson Clinic. Lovely Christian woman. And I was telling her about the Zephyr Christian School. And she said, you know, I was on some drugs and they didn't give me the right balance. And I almost committed suicide. So there can be, with the whole drug issue, the opioids, and all of these other things that go on. Alcohol, abuse. That's why we can't judge. That's why a Christian could and can, and they do. But do many? Again, because of the indwelling ministry of the Spirit of God, the whole purpose, some of the songs that we sang in that. But can a disobedient Christian fall into that? Can a Christian that's taking drugs, whether legal or not legal, can they? All of this is a real possibility. And may we never stand as condemners, but that we come alongside to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And that just brings me to the final conclusion. In a real sense, I can sum it up by saying, Christian, we need to be what we are. We also need to do what we're supposed to do. Lean on one another, to love one another, to be there for one another, to watch for some of those signs that were given. Now, again, those are not biblical things, but I mean, they're all good things. As a person, big personality change to come along. You know, we so easily say, how you doing today? Well, I'm good. I'm all right. What would you do if you heard, well, I've thought a couple of times this week of just taking my life? You better get them to Christ. You better get them to hope. Because hope, deliverance, joy, that's what we have as Christians. But people struggle with sin everywhere. Society has an amplifier on sin, and it's being piped into our homes daily. Young people are vulnerable. The elderly are vulnerable because they're thinking, I'm close to the end anyways. What if I take off a couple of years? It's not ours to do. It is ours to give God glory, for that is the purpose of man. May we be found faithful in our Christian response to come alongside, to weep with those who weep, to encourage that need that, to point others to the forgiveness of sins and the power. After the experience of this week over there, and with suicide is growing, and it's growing in Christian circles. And I ask the question, is it because we're not preaching true hope? What is going on in Christianity when the people who say they know the risen Son of God, who has given them complete forgiveness and has given him the third person of the Godhead, even as we saw in the confession tonight, and they can't or they don't see that God is sufficient for these things? My brethren, we need to know our Bible. We need to love our Bible, study our Bible. And we need to properly understand who and what we are, who God is. Understand that sin is terrible, but Jesus has given us the answer preach Christ, and give hope. Would you stand with me tonight as we close? Our Father in heaven, this is such a devastating, ugly topic. And yet, it's just reality in the world that we live. Father, there are people that battle sin in confusion, and even in their lost estate, they can come to the conclusion, this isn't right, but this is what I've been told. I have no answer. I have a way to end it all. Father, they can bring it all to an end, the confusion and the ugliness of this life. Oh, there is an end to all of that. It's not found at the end of a barrel of a gun or in a drug that is taken or at the end of a rope. It is found in Christ. And in a world that so hates the Lord Jesus Christ, in a world that so rejects the Christian message, yet we are the one that has the way of escape. Father, may we be found faithful, loving, gracious, and kind. And our response to those that are struggling to truly love not the brethren, not only the brethren, but the despised, the struggling. And Father, may you use us mightily for your glory to not just save lives, but to be involved in sharing the gospel that saves the soul spirit. Dismiss us with your grace, mercy, and peace upon us. May we go from here, in a sense with heavy hearts, but also with a sense of joy, because we do know the Savior. We ask these things tonight in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.